Hello, everyone, and welcome to Soul Speak, the retreat for your soul. I'm your host and founder, Sheldon Biznat, and I'm excited and curious to welcome with us today Dr. Sue Mortar. And by curious, what I mean is I'm both excited and interested to see what information unfolds, where we go, and what gets illuminated. So I'm ready to go here, and I hope you are too. In this session today, Dr. Sue is going to be talking about energy, how it operates, how we are part of it, and how we can consciously partner with energy and have the most uplifting, joyful, vital life experience we desire. So here's a little official information and background on Dr. Sue for those of you who aren't familiar with her. International speaker, master of bioenergetic medicine, and quantum field visionary, Dr. Sue redirects the flow of energy patterns in the body to activate full human potential. Through her seminars, retreats, and presentations, she illuminates the relationships of quantum science and energy medicine, as well as the elevation of human consciousness and life mastery. Dr. Sue draws from her life experience of over 30 years, both as a doctor and as a facilitator of groups and individuals interested in natural healing and a better life. She also shares her developments from a perspective drawn from a life-changing awakening during ancient meditation practices. Her globally taught Energy Codes coursework teaches individuals how to clear subconscious memory blockages and how to master the energetics of their lives. So that sounds pretty freaking awesome, right? Dr. Sue, welcome. And I'm excited to learn from you, to be with you, to see where this unfolds, to be a part of this co-collaboration, co-creation for the highest good.
Thank you so much. It's a great delight to be here. And, you know, with all of those lengthy statements and everything, it's just my intention that we break down some really fantastic and complex ideas and make them very simple and user-friendly so that people have a very rich and deep understanding about their true nature and some things that they can do to draw that force in their life and ultimately live from that place of our deep authenticity and the soulful self revealing. So I so look forward to seeing how we get to dance and play together today. And thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And from what I know about you, you are masterful at breaking down the complex into the simple. So I know your intention manifests all the time, and I'm sure it will here as well.
Yeah, well, that would be my greatest joy. So let's do it.
Okay. Well, let's start with the energy codes, since that is your globally taught coursework. Let's talk a little bit. What are the energy codes?
The energy codes are basically some principles and practices that I have codified over about a 17-year period after really a lifetime of living inside of the realm of quantum science and how thoughts manifest your reality, et cetera, because I was raised in that environment. I've never gone to the doctor and gotten an antibiotic for an ailment and taken it in an attempt to heal. I've only ever used energy medicine to heal myself, and I also use those same principles in my clinic when I'm working with patients and in my workshops when I'm working with clients, etc. And so the energy codes are a collection of those practices and principles that I have found over the last almost 40 years in working with others to be the most effective, not only for healing, but for truly manifesting one's ultimate destiny. What we're here to be is much more than what our culture has typically taught and shown and even modeled for us. And so after a life-changing experience that I had in starting in 2000, which led through to 2001, many, many rapid fire openings with my own consciousness that just completely changed my version of reality, my perception of reality and who we are. And so in the midst of all that, I wanted to be able to reproduce those experiences for myself, and I wanted to be able to teach other people how to do that. And so I have kind of retro-engineered what it took for me to get into my body enough to be able to reproduce these experiences that I was having in multi-dimensional transcendental states through meditation and these visions that started opening up inside of me. And so the energy codes are ways of living, ways of perceiving, ways of translating life in a manner that allows us to be in constant collaboration with the divine, to be in constant collaboration and co-creation with the energies that are unfolding through our life experience, rather than being resistant to them or even trying to make do with what happens in life. I'm very interested in people understanding an entirely new perspective, that the only thing that is ever happening in your life is happening in your favor, and it is for the purpose of you awakening to your own magnificence. So the energy codes are some ways that we get that job done, so to speak.
Yeah, I love that last statement. Everything operating. I loved all of that, but the last statement was a wonderful resonation with me, that everything is operating for our benefit, for our awakening. So you talk about everything being energy, Sue, and how energy vibrates at different frequencies. How does that affect us as people as it relates to being socially conscious and collaborating with each other?
Well, the vibrational frequencies of our own thoughts and our own carried belief systems and patterns and energies, consciously and subconsciously, they collectively generate a life experience. And as we can raise our own and ascend our own vibrational frequencies, elevate them by anchoring ourselves and integrating those unspeakables that have haunted us in our lives, and ground and integrate those fears that we have been dodging or outrunning. And when we deepen and integrate and unpack the unresolvedness of our own past experiences that tend to repeat themselves, whether we recognize that immediately or not, life is always continuing to reveal to us ways to set ourselves free into our true magnificence. And so as we learn to manage the vibration of our system, we begin to become more of the solution rather than commiserating at the level of the problem in society and in our cultures, et cetera. The Western world right now, United States in particular, is going through tremendous transformation and upheaval of beliefs and our orientation is rapidly changing of the opportunity for us to be steadfast and unwavering in a place of embracing and a place of possibility when so much is changing so rapidly. It's a perfect example of what we're speaking about today. It is, how do I maintain my own high vibration high enough that I can pierce through the wobble, pierce through the density of what is occurring around me, and be the bringer of the stability in a moment when there is certainly an invitation to begin to participate in the instability. And how do we maintain our wherewithal, in those moments? And so we are globally at a time where the opportunity is right here, right in front of us. It's right in our lap, right in the palm of our hands, for us to see that we can truly awaken in the face of turmoil or a tumultuous environment in ways that in our lifetime we've most of us have not experienced directly. So there's a tremendous opportunity right in front of us.
Oh boy, Sue, I'm really curious, as you know, you've worked with a lot of people worldwide. What would you say? Can you talk a little bit about, just for my own curiosity, what's the shift for people? Like, how can they flip that switch and see that everything's all this turmoil and what can seem like chaos and, you know, and then we can easily go into judgment and operate from that lens versus the other lens of, oh, this is transformational, this is awakening for me. What flips the switch for that? Is it having the experience of coming through that paradigm, the other paradigm, switching the paradigm? Is it just hearing someone like you talk about the possibility of this paradigm, that everything's operating for our benefit? You know, what helps people shift from, mm-hmm. let's say, victim into empowerment or awakening?
Truly, you know, this it's a beautiful question, and it's, interestingly, it is the question that has been facing humanity since recorded time, since humanity has been having recorded conversation, meaning written dialogue and instruction. You know, some of the original personal development instructional documents are thousands and thousands of years old, you know, 5,000 and 6,000 and 7,000 and 8,000 years ago, in hieroglyphic form, in thereafter, in the Upanishads and the sutras and the Vedas in ancient Egypt and ancient India. You know, this question is the question that is before humanity. And I love it that our culture is in a place right now where it's up for us, and that we're asking the question, you know, what do we do when it looks like this could be a real moment of opportunity, and it also looks like it could be a real horrible moment? How do we make the flip of interpreting it from one perspective and into another? And the beauty of this is revealing right now. You know, I've just mentioned sacred texts from the world of spirituality. And also, I would say that what science is arriving at today in the quantum world is this, you know, evidence that we find what we're looking for, that we experience where we're coming mm-hmm. from, and mm-hmm. and so I teach this concept of the quantum flip in my workshops, and the quantum flip is a true phenomenon in the quantum world. And what it means basically is that the tiniest particle that we can measure can be measured as moving in two different directions at the same time. It can be in two different states at the same time, and whichever way we're looking to measure it, it shows up as that. And if we take that holographically and just exponentially expand it into not just the photon, the electron, the tiny particles that make up atoms and molecules, but back out to the, you know, zoom the lens out and look at this macroscopically into our lives as human beings together, interacting with one another around the planet, in every culture, in every situation, in every circumstance that we are in, we are at that same choice that we find and see where we're coming from. That's really what's being reflected back to us. And so the way that I have found in working with people to allow them to make that choice toward their favor and make the choice to see it in a favorable fashion and to glean some wisdom from every experience rather than be beaten down by it and victimized by it is interestingly, even though we're studying about raising our consciousness and elevating our perspective from the bird's eye view so that we can see a bigger picture, so that we don't get caught up in the drama, that ironically, even while that's our goal, the way to go about doing it is quite the opposite of what the mind might think is necessary. And that is coming into the body. Embodiment anchors our consciousness. It anchors the mind field enough that the mind field is not wobbling. And when the mind field is not wobbling, it has the wherewithal, as I mentioned earlier, to interpret a situation from a place of possibility. But when we begin to wobble, because we're not tethered and anchored and grounded, we have a tendency to interpret from the other side, the flip side of the coin. We interpret, this is not okay, something's going to go wrong, this is horrible, we have to do something. We have these lack-oriented, vibrational-based thoughts that are fear-based. And so the thing that I have found to be the most helpful in stabilizing people's choice point and allowing them to consistently see and come from this place of grounded possibility where everything is serving and everything is in my favor and this is okay, is to awaken in the body to a greater degree than we have been before. We have a tendency to live in our heads and not in our body. And there are many different ways I could describe that, but that's a pretty simple one. Just we live in our heads and not in our body. And so a large part of my work has been for the last 30 years teaching people how to get in their body, how to, you know, someone that's living in their protective personality or in their ego, I call it the protective personality because that's really what it's based in. And people don't seem to mind having a protective personality, and yet they don't want to have an ego. People don't want to have an ego. So the fact that they don't want to have an ego keeps them from seeing their protective ways and survival-based ways of thinking and interpreting and being. But if they think of it as, wow, you know, at one point in my life, I kind of slipped out into this false self that had to rise to the occasion to do what I had to do to protect myself because I was afraid mm-hmm. or because I didn't know. So when we start to see that that's what we were doing, and then we recognize the alternative is to remain grounded and centered in your core from this wholeness-based perspective, the true essential self. When we have the realization that there are two versions of me, and I am at choice at which one I'm going to feed, which one I'm going to stand in and breathe as. And then as we learn how to do that, to make that flip into the core of our being, it's easier. It has been made easier by the thousands of people that I've been working with to do so if they use their body to help them tether their mind, to find a way to stabilize the mind so that the soul can rise, the true self can rise, the essential presence of us can rise up and out beyond our limiting beliefs and our fear-based reality. And so by using the body to do so, we find a way to stabilize the mind so that it can make that choice of interpreting the current situations from a place of love and a place of possibility.
Mm. Well, my next question for you, Dr. Sue, is there some tools and techniques that we can start practicing to be in our body and to alleviate some of the stress and the lower frequency energies and increase our feelings of awakening and higher vibration?
Totally. I'm glad you asked.
That was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, there totally are many, many things that we can do. Some of the things that I found that I had to do, you see what happened with me right at the millennium was I had a life-changing experience in meditation that awakened me to the higher self. And I was me, but I was not in a physical body. I was not confined to a physical body. I was a ray of light. And I could see 360 degrees around me the same, then behind me the same as in front of me. I was in a light so brilliantly bright. It was 10 times brighter than the brightest day in the desert I had ever seen. I could see the earth beneath me about the size of a marble. It was so far away. And I was embedded into it up to what would have been my knees, about to the depth of my knees. I could feel it, but... And I was breathing. I had free will. I could look to the left or to the right or behind me or above me or below me, the same. And there was this beautiful iridescent pink translucent horizon, this blanket that separated this brilliant light above and bright light below. And every time I took a breath, this beautiful horizon would rise and fall like the the wings of a giant stingray swimming in slow motion under the ocean, just this most beautiful, beautiful fanning type of motion. And the most important thing about this experience is, and this is why I'm going, you know, speaking about this, is that the sensation that I had was complete fulfillment and satiation, complete awareness, complete. There was nowhere to go, nothing to become, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing wrong. I had been there forever and I was never going to leave. That was the truth of me. And I knew from that moment that everything else that I'd been experiencing was just an experience, but it didn't have anything. It wasn't me. It wasn't the whole of me. And I knew that this was true about all of us, that this is what we are. We are rays of consciousness. We are rays of the light. And what I knew is each time I took a breath, this brilliant, bright light above me was coming, channeling down through this ray that I was, and I was exhaling it into the planet. Basically, this light was becoming love, and I was breathing it into the planet with every breath that I took. And so what I know is that the degree to which we allow ourselves to breathe fully, we are allowing light to become love right through our very existence. There isn't anything we have to do to make that happen. We just have to breathe. We just, by being here, we are made of that lighted, loving presence. And so by breathing, we're bringing that vibrational frequency here. So in order to get back in my body, after I came out of that experience, I wanted to be able to live from that place. I didn't want to just go there in meditation. I wanted that to be my life. And I knew that was why it was happening in my life, was that I was supposed to translate how to bring that here all the time. And so in the next 7 to 10 years, I was constantly working with how to do that and working with my patients and my clients, constantly sharing with them the things that I was discovering. And so in the process of that, I stumbled upon something that I just learned to do it within me, and then years later read in some Eastern writings that this was a technique that was prevalent within the ancient meditation practices of the East. And so it's a process called Mula Bandha, and it means root lock. And it's done by contracting the muscles in the base of the pelvic bowl. So for the ladies, it's kind of like a Kegel exercise. For the gents, it's kind of like you're just contracting the muscles of the perineum. Another way to describe it is kind of like if you were going to the bathroom and you had to stop midstream, the muscles you would have to contract to do that are the muscles that we're talking about. And to contract those muscles brings your energy field from your head down through the spinal cord and down through the central channel of the body, and it anchors and tethers you there. So by squeezing and kind of lifting that upward, just practicing that, it automatically starts to quicken more and concentrate more energy at the core of the body and at the root of the spine. It's very, very helpful when wanting to move out of your head and down into the body. If you think about it like the old-fashioned window blind, a shade that rolled up and it had a string and then this little plastic ring, and if you pulled down on the string, you could unroll that blind and it would cover the window, and if you tugged on it and then let go, it would just, you know, just roll right back up to the top. And this is what happens. We pull our consciousness down out of our heads and into our hearts and down into our core and our body. And as long as nobody moves and nothing happens, we can sit there and breathe in our loving hearts and in our core space. But if somebody walks in the room and says something that upsets us or whatever, we immediately, you know, the window blind just immediately rushes back up, and we're right back up in our heads again, instead of staying in our hearts and staying in our deep core wisdom beneath the heart, beneath the navel, down in the belly. So contracting this Mula Bandha allows us to keep the energy anchored and locked into this abdominal area where the deep wisdom resides in our core. Our wisdom is below our navel. Our intellect is in our head. If we really want to make wise decisions and wise choices and have a wisdom interpretation of the thoughts that we're having, we have to get down into our body and allow these other energies that are deeper frequencies to anchor some of the thoughts that we try to think and the ideas that we try to land and try to manifest. So So Mulabandha, root lock, is definitely something that I would recommend. In addition to that, breathing up and down through the central channel in the body, which is at the core of the body, is also extremely helpful in anchoring and tethering our consciousness deep in our system. And so a couple of things that I want to say about how to do that. Number one, we have to breathe in our bellies, not in our chest, not in the upper lobes of the lungs, but low in the belly. So when you inhale, your belly gets big, like the big Buddha belly. And when you exhale, you pull the belly back toward the spine. And when you inhale, the belly gets big again. And when you exhale, the belly comes back toward the spine. So you're never really breathing in your upper chest with that basic foundational breath exercise. And I call it the vessel breathing or Buddha belly breathing, because what we're doing is if you contract Mulabandha and you breathe in your belly at the same time, you're going to build some resistance there. Like you're contracting the muscles in, but now you're going to take a belly breath, which is pushing out against those muscles that you're trying to contract in. And so the mind says, well, which do I do? Is it contracting in or is it filling the belly and pushing out? And the answer, as within quantum science, the answer is yes, you do both at the same time. And by doing both at the same time, we create a sense of resistance in the body. And if we have that sense of resistance in the body for just a few moments every so often throughout the day, we are reminded about the essential self and where it resides at the core of our being. And if we do that, we have a greater sense of self. And if we have a greater sense of self, we have less of a tendency to need others to validate us or to create safety for us or to affirm us, because we have an affirmed well-being and sense of self already. And that puts us more in the driver's seat in life. So we're using the body to help stabilize that. And in addition to that, what I would add to it is this central channel breathing, which is just one simple addition to the two things that I've described so far. The two things that I've described so far are Mulabandha, squeezing those muscles in the base of the pelvic bowl, and I'll review that in a minute, give you some more pointers on how to do that. And then the second thing I've said already is to breathe in your belly, not in your chest, and to combine those two things. And now the third thing that we're going to do is add an awareness that there is an energy stream, that you are a ray of light, a stream of consciousness that is trying to come into this body fully. And as you do come into this body fully, you have a landing. And when you land here as the essential self, the soulful self has a much better chance of having a life and living here fully. And until then, we're just kind of one toe in the river, living as this protective personality or high-performing personality that's trying to just get the job done and make do. So to central channel breathe, what you're going to do is take your attention 2 feet above your head. Just take your attention up there. Like you can raise your arm up there and snap your fingers 2 feet above your head, right straight overhead. And from that space, you're going to take a breath and breathe from down. Breathe down from that space above your head, right down through the crown of your head, right into the center of your brain, right through your throat, through the center of your chest, into your belly. Breathe, inhale into your belly. Big belly, big Buddha belly. And then you're going to exhale and shoot that breath down through the belly, down through the tip of the spine, down through the pelvis, down through your chair if you're seated, through your legs if you're standing, and right down into the earth, 2 feet beneath the earth. Now, on your next inhale, breathe in the belly and breathe up from the earth, up through that Mulabandha into the belly, only in the belly. And now you're going to exhale and kind of squeeze inside your chest a little bit too. Just squeeze inside the chest as much as you can. And then exhale right up from the belly, up through the heart, up through the throat, up through the center of the brain, out through the top of the head, back up to that space 2 feet above your head. And then this time, keep your nose straight ahead, roll your eyes up, and you'll feel a tension behind your eyes. Now, Breathe in from overhead down through that tension behind your eyes. Make it like a Darth Vader breath that you can hear in your throat, and breathe into your belly. And then squeeze that Mula Bandha, and then pull your belly back towards your spine and exhale. Shoot your breath right down into the earth. And then breathe up from the earth, up into that squeezed Mula Bandha, into the belly. And then roll the eyes up, but keep your nose straight ahead. Roll the eyes up, feel the tension behind your eyes. Now you're going to just shoot your breath right up through the body, right up and out the top of your head, through that area right behind the eyes where you can feel that tension. That's just to find your coordinates right in the center of the brain. And exhale up to 2 feet above the head. So that's a central channel breathing from above your body, through your body, into the earth beneath your body. And then from the earth beneath your body, up through your body, exhaling out above your head, 2 feet above your head. Back and forth, always breathing with the belly, not the chest. And always returning to trying to keep your mind contracting that Mula Bandha as often as you can, so that you can find your coordinates there in the center of your body. And then relaxing the Mula Bandha and allowing that breath to continue to traverse up and down through this central channel. Now, there are many, many other breathing exercises that I teach and other body positions and things like that that we can do to clear subconscious interferences from unresolved emotional upsets from the past and clear blockages about our future and all kinds of other things that we can do. But doing this starts to open a gateway that allows all those other things to become much more effective once we learn those at some point down the road. But this is a basic fundamental way to start to glean from the energies that reside at the core of the body that act as a tethering and a grounding and a filtering of all of our creativity and our dreams and our visions for ourselves. Of all the places in the cosmos that we could be, we've come to the third dimension and we are in a body. And the body has everything to do with how we master on a soulful level what we're here to do next. So I'll stop there and see where you'd like to go from there.
It makes a lot of sense. First of all, thanks so much for sharing all that. And it just makes tremendous sense, doesn't it, that we are in a body for a reason. We have this beautiful vessel for a reason, for our soulful mastery. And that is to resolve and to upgrade, and in my humble opinion. So those are very wonderful, simple, age-old techniques that anyone can use at any time.
Yes, we can absolutely use those driving down the road when you're thinking about something and you're upset, or you're wrestling with some decision, or you're remembering something and trying to work through how it went and wishing it could go differently, or practicing how you would be different in the future the next time something like that happens. Those things that we do as we try to learn and awaken. And while they seem so simple, they are tremendously and delicately creating an integration in the system that will allow consciousness to be able to elevate, because we're grounding ourselves more and more and more. The more grounded we are, think of it like, you know, the more deeply we root, the higher the consciousness branches can grow in the same tree, right? So we can't continue to expand up and out and overhead without deepening and rooting and grounding in a sense that is harmonious with stabilizing that. Our thoughts are not confined to our body, but we have to anchor and own them and embody the visions that we have for ourselves. And so, you know, what I teach in the coursework is the language of the body, and being able to identify with where in the body we are being activated in any given thought process. And then we learn some breathing techniques to integrate through the specific areas of the body that are calling our attention when we're dreaming our dreams, or when we're, you know, trying to undo some past experience that hasn't set well with us, undo the effects and rearrange the effects so that we have an opportunity to to truly evolve through all things rather than just try to survive and get through them, right? There's much more to life than just that.
Yeah. And it is a messy experience sometimes. Is that right, Dr. Sue? Living in this body and that grounding process you're talking about, it can be, in my experience, it can be messy. You know, it can be, we get to revisit some places, and but we can do it with some semblance of grace and a lot of support.
You know, what I find is most effective in doing that processing process is learning how to get underneath the story and just work with the raw energy, because mm-hmm. the raw energy is available to us, and the body is how we can learn to identify where the energy is blocked and where it is stuck and how we can start to dislodge that and process it. And the beauty of this work is that we don't have to relive the trauma of an old situation in order to build new neurocircuitry to process it with more efficiency and efficacy, be more effective with it in the present. We don't have to talk through it. We don't have to torture ourselves through the circumstances. We just have to learn how to build new sensory circuitry so that we can learn to process life in an effective way that is grounded and integrative all the time. And so what I teach with the energy codes is teaching people how to use the raw energy instead of working with life on the level of the stories that happen. You know, we all love stories and we love to hear them. And some of our own stories in our past haven't been so happy, pleasant, and perhaps we've not yet found what the gift was about them. And when we're in that struggling process, that is where we would tend to say that it's messy. And what I have found to make that as clean and pristine of a process as it can be is I found that if I could train my mind to listen to the body and let the body tell me where the blockages were in the flow that's supposed to be flowing through my body, it actually was pointing me in the direction of finding what it takes to learn. For instance, when I learn something, I build new circuitry, new nerve synapses happen. When anyone learns something, they make new connections so that nerves are firing together in different patterns. And that all starts with energy flowing differently first. And so what I learned was that we could get the energy flowing differently before we learned what the lesson was, and it allowed the benefits of learning the lesson to happen. And the mind became the last to know, so that I didn't have to figure things out with my mind. I just got the energy moving, and then the neurocircuitry followed the new energy pattern, and then all of a sudden I was translating circumstances from a different perspective, and I had no mm-hmm. idea how that happened. You know, it wasn't yeah. that I logically got there. It was that
right.
the mind was the last to figure out that I was okay with a situation that previously had been emotionally devastating for me. So
yeah.
I kind of reverse engineer it for people and say, here's how you get the energy moving in your body, and what will happen as a byproduct of that, you will start experiencing different emotions, and then you will start mm-hmm. translating life from a different thought process, and you won't even know why. It'll just be okay with you that you're okay. It's kind of amazing.
Right. It is. And, you know, it's fascinating to me right now because I have also in my work come to this and moving into that too, where in the past, where I started from, would be much more bringing up maybe the story, the mental and emotional levels of that process of resolvedness. And now it just seems like I'm working with the raw energy and sensation. And it seems like everybody around me, the more and more people I come into contact as far as colleagues, are doing the same thing. I don't know if it's the 12th monkey effect or what's going on, or the, you know, a quickening with the global awakening. But it's just kind of fascinating to hear you talk about this as well, and how that's your how you've evolved in your work.
You know, it's we're living at a time where we're so stimulated in our minds. You know, the the media is everything that it is. The way we receive information is fourfold. You know, we'll watch something on a television screen that has something else bleeping across the bottom, which has other things dropping down from the top, or we go online and we're bombarded with four or five different stimuli at the same time, and it's okay. We're adapting to that. We want that stimulation, but what happens is, pretty soon, because the mind can only process a certain amount of information at once, we're defaulting now, which I think is beautiful default, and it's the way nature would have it, because everything is truly unfolding in our favor. We're defaulting now to wanting to feel our way through stuff, and we just have to go with it, trust our gut. If we're being bombarded with so much information that we can't process it all, the next thing we're going to go to is, you know, I'm just going to shoot from the hip here. I'm just going to make a choice. I'm just going to do this. And what we will find is that we will make a choice. You know, this is like Gladwell's research in his book Blink several years ago. In an instant, you know. So don't waste your time processing all the information. Just go with what you know. And what we're wanting to cultivate is wisdom. So when you're finding yourself going to feeling your way through something, and then you're saying that other colleagues that you're speaking to are landing at the same thing. This has been my work for 30 years. I totally get the benefit of working with the body to allow the mind to have access to a greater amount of wisdom and truth. And so that is that raw energy underneath the surface. And so I think it's beautiful and wonderful that we're bombarded and that life is so crazy, because it's forcing us to not have to, because we realize we can't logically figure it all out. We're having to come to a common denominator underneath it and make our decisions. And so that common denominator underneath it is the energy, and everything in the whole of creation is energy. We are made of energy. So when we can train our minds to start working with the energy, we're in a much better place than we were when we were trying to, with an analytic deductive reasoning, come up with, you know, A leads to B leads to C. It's just, you know, even Einstein said, well, it turns out that's not the whole picture. You know, that's not how we're supposed to be processing life. We're supposed to be using our logical mind to steward the intuitive, and we've created a culture that's honoring the wrong thing. So, so ultimately, we wake up, and that's what's happening. You know, our job is to try to make it as graceful and pleasant of an experience as we possibly can.
Yes, I'm all for that. So, this is a good time, I think, to ask a question from one of my clients. She works with the energy codes, and she loves the work. And Kim asks, Dr. Sue, you have mentioned more than once that you used to be the most fearful person you knew. So what would you say to someone who has lived in her head to feel safe and is now coming back into her body and is feeling unsafe, vulnerable, and unprotected at times? What was it that helped you the most with changing from your, quote, fear story to your present experience?
Ah, love it. So coming into the body, you're experiencing new vibrations, and you become more in touch with what's happening, and you're in the midst of building circuits to being able to manage that. And oftentimes when we land here, you know, when we're first here on planet Earth, we splat and our mind goes one way, our body goes another way, our breath goes another way, and we're just all dispersed. And so we have to pull that back together. Mind, body, breath have to come back together again. And so every time you're feeling insecure, vulnerable, overwhelmed, whatever it might be, you know, take your attention to the core of your body and just see, where is it the most activated in this given moment, just right now, in this moment. Maybe it's in your throat. Maybe it's in your chest. Maybe it's in your belly. And you have to squeeze it back and let it know that your mind and your body are cooperating. The body only speaks body talk, so you have to squeeze it back so that the body knows that the mind has found another way of approaching this fear situation, this intimidating situation. And by squeezing it back and squeezing this mula bandha and breathing right through this area, what it's going to, that has been activated, and including that in the central channel, and breathing deep, warm, slow, intimate, loving presence right through your core, you will start to stabilize those energies in the moment, which of course will help you feel better in the moment. But the real benefit here is long term, and that is that you will build some circuits right through different levels of your own consciousness, through these chakras in the central channel of the body, et cetera, that have not been talking with each other because they didn't have to, because you weren't living in your body, you were elsewhere. Right, so now you're coming down into the body, and we have to build the circuits to support what's going on. And so by squeezing in and breathing through it, you're breathing life into an area that has previously been not animated. You haven't been living in that room of your house, and so now you're moving in. And the more you do that day after day, situation after situation, maybe multiple times a day with different scenarios, You build a sensory awareness at the core of your system that allows your conscious and your subconscious to pick up on a sense of stability. And it basically translates to the subconscious as, all is well. I'm okay here. I'm okay here. And you're building a new foundation of what is familiar, what is okay, what is safe, what is real, and what is true. And if you will allow yourself to fully have whatever the emotion is and not try to resist it while you're doing this work in the body, fully have it. It may only take 30 seconds, maybe 10 seconds, and it will be completely dissipated. It will be completely not only undone, but you'll build circuits right through that area so that it will never feel like a vacancy of unfamiliarity, a void. Again, it will never feel like a void because you will have moved in there. So it's a bigger conversation than obviously that's why I teach all the coursework that I teach, but to just give you this the gist of it is you're going to feel unfamiliar vibrations when you move into your body, and you just take them one at a time and you work with breathing presence with that vibration in that moment, and the mind has a tendency not to want to let you experience it fully because it thinks if I'm fully experiencing that, I'm going to get caught up in that and I won't be, I'll never come out. You know, I'll get stuck there. But it's quite the opposite. If you'll fully go into it, that's the only way that you'll come out and come out fully and clearly in an integrated way, having benefited from allowing yourself the surrender of being completely present with whatever that vibration was that felt so unfamiliar. It's all part of an illusion. There's nothing but you to discover. So the things that are unknown are just unknown parts of you that you've not yet discovered. I could keep going, but I'll just stop.
Yeah. Well, I could too. I could launch into, you know, just briefly. If there's anyone in our audience that, you know, is identifying or self-identifying with, gosh, I am in my head a lot, and this seems kind of scary, you know, just in my experience, what I've known is that it gets so much easier as you have that experience going through just what Dr. Sue is sharing. You come out the other end with this kind of feeling and illumination. Gosh, that wasn't nearly as bad as I imagined it to be. Ah, I can do this. That wasn't so. And you build confidence in this work. It's amazing. And then it actually becomes, you can start looking forward to it and becomes fun and curious and mysterious. And just you know what's on the other end, and it becomes a lifestyle. And so it's truly available to you, to anybody. If I can do it, boy, anybody can, is how I feel.
Hear, hear. Definitely true for me as well.
Well, now that we've become wonderfully saturated with all of this, all of your beautiful teachings, your energy, and what you've been sharing here throughout this call, how can our audience learn more? And I know you have a free gift. Why don't you share with them? That's certainly how they can learn more. And you can talk a little bit about what you're working on and what's coming next, please.
Oh, definitely. On my website, there's an entire schedule of courses and places that I am and ways to be in touch with us and to learn more, et cetera. There are introductory packages support materials that you can plug into with a tremendous discount on the normal prices of of products that that we have, just so that you can really get a feel for the latitude of this body of work. There is so much available in terms of healing, or in terms of consciousness development or spiritual development, learning to meditate or to deepen your meditations, to really understand what is happening multidimensionally with you, or if you're just interested in learning programs for yoga or for exercise or for nutritional support, etc. It's that has been what we have been making available to people for 30 years in my clinic and as I travel and teach as well. There is a wonderful meditation that you have access to when you come on to the website, that will allow you to just by entering your own email, you are able to receive this meditation and an episode of the masterclass, which is something that I teach once a month, where people call in or write in all kinds of questions, and I answer them all together as one conversation, and that's called the masterclass. So there is.
And just to interrupt you real quick, Dr. Sue, for everybody in our audience, I didn't make this clear. That's available right here on the page in front of you, folks, at the Claim Your Free Gift Now. So you can just click on Your Free Gift Now. It'll take you right to Dr. Sue's website so that you can get that meditation and masterclass.
That's even I should have articulated that as well. My apologies.
It's okay.
And there is an opportunity there when you get onto that to see this Body Awake DVD, and in that particular DVD is tremendous information about how to clear the subconscious unresolvedness from an emotional standpoint. We are never held back for the reasons that we think we are, and so. Based in energy medicine, it's a self-administered technique to clear subconscious interference. There are AM and PM meditations and all kinds of things available to you there as a support material package. And it includes two tickets to a workshop that I'm teaching as well all across the country. There are also CDs or digital downloads that you can listen to while you're driving in the car, et cetera. But the free gift is right there. That is a meditation, and it is this episode of the master class. So that is certainly available to everyone as a part of the program that we're doing here today. And if you're interested in learning a little bit more, then that support package is available on that page as well. So hopefully that will be helpful.
Awesome. Okay. And I understand you have you're releasing another book in the spring?
Yes, actually. It looks like it's going to be later in the year, next year, with Simon & Schuster. It's the all of the workings of the energy codes. So I'm very much looking forward to that, yes.
Awesome. Okay, well, we are getting ready to sign off. Do you have any last words for our audience?
Well, it's ultimately, I would say that there is nothing broken, there is nothing wrong, and there is nothing missing. And it is simply a matter of training the mind, training the brain, how to listen to the energy being that you are. And it's a matter of using your body to translate that. Just to think of it like this, the soul speaks to the body, and the body tries to get the attention of the mind. It gets its attention through neck pain and back pain and headaches, or it can get its attention with little tiny nudges. And I want to, I want everyone to learn the language to speak that translation in a subtle fashion, so that we don't have to get hit with these cosmic 2x4s in life, whether it's emotional pain or physical pain or spiritual pain. And all we have to do is learn to translate those languages and bring them into one common ground. And so, you know, my final parting would be an invitation for you to really give yourself permission to drop in to your core, deep, true, essential self and allow life to unfold in the magical way that it is truly intended to unfold. And if that isn't happening, then please know that there is support here for you for that to happen.
Mm. Oh, wonderful. We love support. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And on that note, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody on the call, including you, Dr. Sue, for your support and being with me together collectively in this process of awakening, of healing, of reawakening to our authenticity, our true self. Coming together like this is like stepping into some kind of current, a gentle river current or an ocean current, and it can carry us when we don't have to do as much work. So I thank you for all being with me and on the show and on the call. So tune in tomorrow for our next wonderful masterclass session. Dr. Sue, thank you so much, and certainly been a pleasure.
My great delight, and thank you very much for doing what you're doing in the world, Sheldon. It's so helpful to so many. So we just have to swim together in this current. Fabulous.
Let's play. Yeah, let's swim and play together. Thank you, Sue. God bless.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, bye-bye, everyone.